This message tonight is actually extra important for the younger generation in the room. Because as you're sitting in school and you're getting educated and you're hearing your teachers say certain things, if they don't believe in God or if they believe in evolution, they're going to try to mock your faith in God. They're going to mock your faith in the Bible. They're going to mock your faith in Jesus Christ. And they're going to make it sound like and draw this supposition in their arguments. That means since you have faith in God, you're just like blindly believing this because it's your culture, because it's the way you were raised, because it's your feelings. You're not educated and you're not very smart and you don't know the real issue. And the fact of the matter is, God doesn't waste any time at all proving to him, to those teachers, to those educators, that he's God. One of my favorite parts of the Bible is this. In the beginning, God. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. You know how God starts it out? In the beginning, God. Well, what was in the beginning? God. Well, where did God come from? Well, he was in the beginning. Well, I mean, he had to have a starting point somewhere. I mean, where was God? What happened? I mean, how did God get there? God. Yeah, I mean, I know that he created the heaven and the earth and that in seven literal days, six literal days, and the seventh he rested and all that. I realize all that, but what about before that? I'm telling you the answer about before that, God. That's how he explains it. Well, you know what? I just need a God that's going to give me better answers than that. In the beginning, God. You know what's innately in every one of you? Not just you. Even in the atheists, the people that don't believe, innately in every human being, they recognize and know there's something out there that's bigger than all of us. You can't walk out in the middle of the night and look up on a cloudless night and see all the stars in heaven and not think there's something bigger than all of us. You can't get a telescope and look at all those planets and start realizing the galaxy and all the different planets that are out there and not say there's something bigger than all of us. You can't look at the intricacies of the human body and how God created that thing to function and not say there's got to be something bigger than us. You can't look at the problems in the world today and the fact that we've got all this education and all this power and all this technology and all this money, and we can't stop the most basic issues. Amen. And I'm not talking about cancer. And I'm not talking about ending poverty. I'm talking about the basic issues of mommy and daddy loving each other and staying loyal till death do us part. I'm talking about daddy not abandoning the children. I'm talking about mommy not abandoning the children. I'm talking about basic issues of like, no, I'm not going to allow an addiction that's overcome my life, which happens. I get it. I understand the power of addictions. I'm not mocking that. I'm saying when you realize you've got something like that and it's wrecking your life and you want out of it and you can't get out of it, let me tell you something. You come to a point where you realize there's something out there bigger than you and how weak and base and small you are. You can't get in an airplane and look down from 30,000 feet and not stop and say, there's something out there bigger than all of us. Amen. The limitations of humanity. All that we want to do and want to accomplish, and yet we're so limited. You got to recognize there's something bigger than all of us. Go with me, if you would, please, keeping your finger here in the book of Psalms. Go with me to the book of Romans. Look at chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, I want to show you where the heart of the issue is. We're going to talk tonight about the heart of a fool, or a fool's heart. Romans chapter number 1, please. Look at verse 18. Romans 1, 18. Now this, like I said, is going to be an offensive message, right? Offensive chapter. But we're going to deal with Bible. The Bible says in Romans 1, 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who," so that is referring to the men who have ungodliness and unrighteousness, who do what? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They're living in unrighteousness and ungodliness, and in the middle of their unrighteousness and ungodliness, they hold the truth inside of them. The fool has said where? Okay. They hold the truth inside of them. That's why I hear lost men that don't darken the door of a church, don't believe the Bible, don't believe even in God sometimes, and they'll say something like, I'm going to hell. Why'd you just say that? Because I'm a bad person. You cannot tell me that there's a man on the planet that the first time he stepped out on his wife, or the first time he took another man's wife, he didn't feel guilt. I'm not saying you don't get to a point where you stop feeling guilt. You do. It's called a seared conscience. But the first time you commit certain crimes, you feel guilt. They hold the truth, but they don't want the truth. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. See that? For the invisible things, watch this, you want to see science? Well, you Christian people, you're uneducated and you don't believe in science. Hogwash. That's a complete lie. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see the science in that? What are they doing? They're figuring out what they don't know by what they can observe. Right? So, has any of you seen God? Like, have you been to the third heaven and seen the Lord and all that stuff? If you have, please keep your hand down. We're going to just think you're loony, okay? Yeah, no man has seen God any time, right? So, you haven't been there, you haven't seen it. But you believe it. Because of what you do see around you. In other words, you're coming to a conclusion based on legitimate, real, observable, repeatable. You're grabbing what you have in front of you. You know the word science comes from a Latin word that means knowledge? It's unbiased observations and systematic experimentation that deals with the physical world and its phenomena. The physical world. I believe in God because of what I see. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, watch it, they knew it instinctively in their mind, in their heart. There is a God-shaped hole in the side of inside of every lost person. That's just a way for me to, it's an illustration. Inside of every lost person, it's like no matter what you do, you're never going to find what it is until you find out who Jesus Christ is. Until you get a personal relationship with God Almighty, something will always be lacking no matter what happens, good or bad. Because that when they knew God, they knew. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was... The fool has said where? It's a darkened heart. Why? Because their imaginations started running down the road of looking around at the things of the world and the things they want to do and the pleasure in the world, and your mind starts going, and so you keep working on that, and before you know it, when you keep allowing those thoughts to circulate in your mind, they percolate down into the heart. And when you get to that point, you get to a point where you start saying, there ain't no God anyhow, I can do whatever I want. Because when you go ahead and do what you want, in spite of the fact that your conscience is telling you don't do what you want to do, are you following me? You do it anyways, your conscience says no. But you do it anyways, and your conscience says no. But you do it anyways, and your conscience says no. And you get to a point where you're sick of dealing with this conscience. You're tired of feeling guilty. So it's, get off me, preacher. Get off me, mom. Back off me, dad. I don't have a problem. I can quit anytime I want. That wasn't wrong. It was consensual. And we're adults. Who are you to say I'm wrong? See, the conscience is agitated by it. And before long, that heart keeps doing what the conscience keeps saying no to, which is God convicting the soul, the Holy Spirit of God reproving the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And I believe that's John 15 or 16 or something like that. You can look it up later. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And you say, no, 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 no. And then before long, you're like, you know what? I am sick of feeling this way. This isn't wrong. You're not anybody to tell me it's wrong. There's no authority but me. There ain't even a God. I'll do what I want. And that's how they get there. This is the root of the issue. And the Bible, I mean, God has a way of calling it out in the Bible. I mean, so much so that I am telling you right now, I know how to get myself in trouble. Just preach the Bible. Preach the Bible to people that don't want to hear the Bible. You want to see a mess? All kinds of people have viewpoints that I don't agree with. Even will argue them or push them in my face, and I don't ever find myself ready to just lose it. But you get a Bible out there in front of somebody that doesn't want it, and you start pushing this thing and preaching this thing, and you watch what happens, boy. They just start... They will kill you. Let's keep going. We're not done yet. We haven't made everybody mad enough. Verse 22. Professing. I'm your professor. I'm here to tell you there is no God. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. So you've got a God Almighty who in the beginning, God. That's why that's the answer. He was, is, and is to come. God's not down here in this universe confined to time. The sun rising and setting means nothing to God. He's already in eternity. He's in the past. He's in the future. If you can figure that out, you know, have at it, but you can't. So if you say you did, I'll know you're a liar because you ain't God. You're not going to be able to figure that out till you get there. There are some things that you're just not going to know in this lifetime, period. The end of the discussion. No matter who you are. So you got an incorruptible God who's out in eternity, right? And then you've got corruptible man. Now, you could have a superhero. I mean, the greatest football player on the planet. Give it 20 years. The greatest fighter on the planet. Do you know those guys are considered old when they're in their late 30s? Dana White's not even really interested in a guy even in his early 30s to bring him into the UFC. Most of the time he's like, I'm not looking for guys that old. Early 30s! Why? Because even the greatest of us are corruptible. Oh, he's so smart. Give it 50, 60, 70 years. See how smart he is. So here's my point. Why should we worship mankind? Why should we want a God that fits our mold? We are dying. You understand that? We stink. That's why most of you don't even like coming on Wednesday nights unless you have time to get in the shower real quick and clean up before you come to church because you know you stink. There's a new thing going on around my house. The girls never realized this, but one of them had taken one of my ties for me or something, and she was like, oh, my ties stink because I wear them and I sweat right through everything, and that's just corruptible flesh. That's just what we are. We're dying human beings. Death is coming to you. You understand that, right? There is no escape in that war. You're not getting out of that one. So I don't want a God in my image or in the image of any other human being on the planet. I'm not looking for that God. I don't care how rich they are, how much they may have, how much wine, women, and money, and all the rest they might have. That means nothing to me. I'm not looking for a God like that. I'm looking for the eternal God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, who's there in the beginning, will be there in the future. That's the God I want to follow, not any other. That's the God of the Bible. But, you know, it's like, I'd rather worship myself. Because there's some things my body wants to do and that stinking book says I can't. Wherefore God, verse 24, gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Do you know naturally you're ashamed and embarrassed to be naked? One of the ways you know your kids are getting to the age of accountability, and it doesn't mean they're there, it means they're maybe within a couple of years, is all of a sudden they won't, you know, bust out the front door after a shower, run down the street completely unaware of the fact that they're not dressed yet. That's innocence. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's complete innocence. Naturally, you're ashamed. You're meant to be. What's happened nowadays, they so dishonor themselves that they've lost that natural shame. Even the women nowadays, don't expect to be treated like a lady. That's a dishonoring. They dishonor their own body, verse 24, between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature, people, trees, animals, the environment. And no, I don't think we should just trash the environment. I love my trees and all the rest. I was trimming my trees on Labor Day. I was laboring in my yard. But I don't worship that stuff. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Now, I'm not being mean. I'm pointing out truth to you, okay? Who in the world would worship a cow? I mean, I pray over them before I dive in. Amen? I don't pray to them. But intelligent, I mean highly intelligent people worship cows. Who would worship or pray to a statue? Idolatry. Kneel down and pray to a statue. You can make it. You can break it. How is it going to take any... What are you thinking? Do you know not all atheism means I don't believe there's a God at all? I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. It's denying the true God. That's atheism. Who would pray to a statue? I know some very intelligent, even well-to-do, successful people in the world who kneel down and pray to a statue. We went over to Scotland a few years ago, and there's a statue there of David. His name is Hume. He was a great philosopher. And as he's sitting there, one of his legs is out like that, and he's got this big old ugly barefoot toe, you know, sticking out there. It's a massive statue. And you know, that statue is kind of a greenish color. It's brown green. The toe on that statue of the philosopher is rubbed completely crystal clear. It's just polished. Because you got all these educated first world country people walking by rubbing the toe of the philosopher thinking it's going to bring them luck. And they all, they professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know what you got over there? A high level of atheism. Do you know directly across the street from that statue is a statue of John Knox and the cathedral that he preached in for years, who was one of the reformers that God used to turn the world upside down and bring the gospel, was spreading all over the world, and they don't even know who he is or stop to pay him any attention. They walk right by it, go across the street, and they're all walking by there rubbing that toe trying to get luck. When you know the Bible and you watch, your eyes just go wide open, man. It's amazing. For this cause, God gave them up, verse 26, to vile affections. For even their women. See, when it gets real bad, it even affects the women. Men are generally, now don't get too mad at me, fellas, men are generally pigs. Girls, all know this, boys are dogs. Period, the end of the discussion, okay? I'm a girl dad. I got no mercy on it. I know what's. I don't care how big his Bible is or how great his suit is or hello, Mr. Reagan. I know exactly what's in your mind, son. Who are you? I don't care if I've known him since he's two. And if I think he's interested in one of my daughters, well, who are you? Amen. That's good preaching. It's natural for men. But even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. This is homosexuality. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. You know what God said? They got what they deserve. Now this is completely politically incorrect, but you know originally when AIDS came out, it was the gay-related immune deficiency. It was called GRID. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, do you see that? They knew him. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Worthy of death? Yeah, because they're the ones out there on the street murdering people. They're the ones out there on the street burning stuff down. Because they've gotten to a point now where they are their own God. And how'd they get there? It wasn't here. If you're an atheist, you're stupid. It doesn't say stupid. They might not be stupid at all. They're foolish. Why? Because you're following your heart, you're not following what God said. You think you're going to run, but let me tell you something, you can't hide. They don't want to acknowledge that there's a God. Go back with me, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms. Now, we as Bible-believing Christians, you realize we're not against science, right? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, it warns about science falsely so-called, right? It doesn't tell you you shouldn't pay any attention to science. It says stay away from science that calls itself science when it's not truly science. Wait a minute. If God created it, and you study it, with keeping in mind the fact that God created it, that's real science. There's nothing wrong with science. It's science that tries to say, there's no God, we just evolved. Prove it. Prove it. The burden of proof's on you. The burden of proof's not on me, the burden of proof's on you. You're believing something and trying to introduce something that for throughout mankind's human history wasn't accepted. And to this day, guess what? At a maximum, it depends on which research you study, at a maximum 14% of the world today is atheistic. Half of that is in China. And in China, only about 40% of those people over there are atheistic. You still got 60% of the people in China, and shockingly enough, communist Russia that takes an atheistic stand, it isn't even the most highly atheistic nation in the world. A lot of the European nations are more highly atheistic after they had the gospel spread through there, the revivals come through there, the first great awakening, the second great, they were impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ, accepted it, churches all over the place, and they turned from the truth and turned on the fables. In the United States of America, it's not as common as you'd think it is. I think depending on who you study, looked at different research and whatnot, and they say, in and of themselves, it's really hard for us even to define an atheist. Because technically, according to the dictionary definition of an atheist, they don't believe in any gods at all. Not God, not any small gods, no gods, period, nothing supernatural. We're just here by chance, we die, and that's it. I mean, we dress up at our funeral, they put a suit on us, we're all dressed up with nowhere to go. Got it? That's a real atheist. But a lot of people identify as atheists, but yet still believe that there is a higher power somewhere, but they just can't know who it is truly. Other people, they said they've even found quite a few Roman Catholics and Jews that are Roman Catholic and Jew by religious distinction, and yet don't believe there's a God. So they call themselves cultural Roman Catholics and cultural Jews. So it's a pretty messy subject. Do you follow me? But what we can tell, a very small percentage of the U.S. is actually truly atheistic, like 7 at the most. And that number has been slowly growing. And you know what they said? The vast majority of those are young, white men. Now that means a lot to me. It's not the older guys. It's the spoiled brats who were handed everything in this generation, never had to fight for anything, didn't have a dad in their life to whoop their hind end, or a mom in their life to say, your dad might not be here, but I'm going to bust your hind end. You don't talk to your mama like that. Get dressed, we're going to church, son. And now the vast majority of them are young, white males and highly educated. Arrogant little cusses is what they are. The median age is in the early 30s. Arrogant little know-it-alls who don't want to face the fact that there's a God.
They want to do anything that they want to do. They want to burn anything down that they want to burn down. They want to run their agenda. They want to defile your wife, defile your daughters, defile your mind. They want to propagate everything wicked. They want to do all the things that permeate the culture and get in the heads of your children. But hey, don't you tell me what to do. Well, it don't work that way in my house anyways. You know Daniel? Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. Skilled in science. They're going to try to tell you that if you believe in God, you're just stupid and you're just leaning on a crutch and all that stuff. Whatever, man. Whatever. You got to watch out for them. Why? Because they're willfully ignorant. Look at verse number 4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? You know what God wants, church? You got to watch this now in yourself, because I'm not just here. I know I'm getting at it a little bit tonight, and I think some of this needs to be said, by the way. You know, listen, you guys know how often I've said it's pointless for us to come in here and preach at everybody else that's not here, right? You've heard me say that over and over and over again, right? Okay. Every once in a while, especially when this chapter is like the one God gave us tonight, this kind of thing needs to be hit right on. You know why? Because there's a bunch of young ones in this room. If they don't hear preaching against homosexuality and against, you know, chopping your body all up because you're not happy with what God made you, and so you're doing something that's absolutely foolish. You know what the research shows on what that kind of stuff does to young girls' bodies, to young men's bodies, how it destroys them. You know what it does to their psychology. You realize that in your teens or in your early 20s even, your mind doesn't work the same way it's going to work when you're 40. Come on, man. I mean, how many of you in your 40s, 50s, 60s really want to go back to when you were a kid, when you were a teenager? It's tough, ain't it? You really want to go back there? You want to dig up everything you ever did that you're ashamed of now and talk about it in public? You shouldn't. Keep it between you and God. Just understanding that later on in life, you're not going to want what you might want now. And you've got so much pressure and so much influence in this culture nowadays to at least accept all this stuff. Who are you to say it's wrong? Well, you know what? Great point. What does God say? So once in a while to get preaching on this stuff is good, because the young people need it. Where else are they going to hear it if they don't hear it here? Where are you going to hear it? What news channel are you going to pull up? The conservative ones? They don't talk like this anymore. This would be lawsuit stuff for them. They won't tell you the truth about this stuff. Well, guess what my job is? My responsibility is that the pulpit God gave me to make sure the truth goes out from this pulpit, and this is where it's called being salt, being light. Look with me, if you would, please, at Hosea chapter number 4. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. We'll go over this. It's one of them hard ones to find. But if you'll grab Hosea, if not, if you can't find it quick, just listen. I'll read it to you. Hosea chapter number 4, verse number 6. The Lord says this: my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. You say, whoa, that's harsh. No, it's not. It's an equal and opposite reaction. Why is that harsh? That wasn't God saying, I'm done with you, get out of here. That was God saying, hey, like the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. I'm here. Okay, if you don't want me, then fine. Hosea chapter 6. Look at verse 6. He said, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You want to know why some Christians get to a point where they're out? The knowledge of God stops meaning something to them. Look at, keep your finger here, go flip back there to Psalm chapter 14. Let me show you another one. He said, I have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, in verse 4. Look at verse 5. there were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. You know what they don't have? They don't have any knowledge, but it's not educational knowledge. That's not what it's talking about. Satan showed up and said, ye shall be as gods, what? Knowing good and evil. You know what Satan wants? He wants you to have all the knowledge you want, just leave God out of the equation. Educate yourself all you want, but don't bring God into the picture. You know, I'll tell you something most people don't know about true Luciferians. True, the real deal. Real deal Satanists. You know, the guys with the pentagrams and all the tattoos and, you know, dressing all black and all that stuff. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in God. They're true atheists. That's exactly what he wants, boy. Satan's happy with that one. It's a religion based on faith. Well, I just believe we got here by a big bang. Okay, prove it. Come on, prove it. Did you see it? No, I didn't see it. So you got faith in a big bang. Okay, I have faith in God. Because everything else I see has a creator. Everything else. I mean, man, if I could get in that car and run it down the road and smash it into a brick wall and turn it into a Harley, I would. I'd probably pick the Flex, not the new car, but, you know, I'd do it, man. But when you create big bangs from explosions, better things don't come out of that anywhere. That's not how you create anything. That's how you destroy. And yet, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. You're rubbing the toe of the statue for what? Luck? Well, that's faith, ain't it? How's that science? You're praying to that statue? That's a statue. What's that thing going to do for you? You believe the cow might be your mama? Come on, man. I mean, you're going to come back as a cockroach. Maybe that one, I don't know. But, I mean, come on. It just doesn't make any sense, does it? But then they want to mock you and they want to mock these kids because they're Bible-believing Christians in a public school. I believe the Bible. You want to know the one thing they found that all the atheists had in common? This one's gonna ring home true to you Bible believers. The one thing they all had in common, none of them believed in the God of the Bible. Some of them believed in a higher power. Some of them believed in the possibility. None of them, zero, said, yes, there's a possibility that the God of the Bible is the God. Yeah. You know, I don't know why. That Bible spells out some things that they don't want it spelling out. And it's like, that Bible corrects me. This ambiguous God of my own creation, this ambiguous God that means something to me, this ambiguous God of some religious, pious writings, of some mystical whatevers, historically speaking, that God doesn't tell me that I'm a drunk. That God says that I have issues. You know, the God of the Bible tells you you're a drunk. And then he says, stop drinking. And then you say, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong and I'm sorry. And he says, for what? You say, because my name is Mike and I'm an alcoholic. And he says, a what? You say, my name is Mike and I'm an alcoholic. He says, what are you talking about? A what? Are you following me? The God of the Bible doesn't keep you enslaved to your past. But he says, first, before we can move past the past, let's deal with the present, you drunk. That's wrong, get it right. But this world that wants to doctor it all up, the God of man's creation, well, it's not that, it's this. And let's make it pretty, and then I want you to always get up and tell everybody, hi, I'm Mike, and I'm a narcotic, I'm an addict, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a forever. You're forever. How long have you been clean? 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. Then what are you talking about? No, you're not. You see, that's the God of the Bible, the God that they don't want. That to me doesn't make any sense. Have my people had no knowledge? It's just getting over that tough message. Verse 5, they were in great fear. You see that? They don't have any peace. You know why? They don't fear God.
And when you don't fear God, be prepared to fear everything else. COVID, masks, Muslims, the economy, those Christians with their Bibles. You wind up fearing everything else when you don't fear God. But you find me a man that truly fears God, and I'll show you a man with courage and boldness and strength. I mean, one that really fears God. But boy, they're full of fear, man. Just panicking about everything. Why? Because their heart ain't stayed on God. Their heart isn't settled on God. They don't have the fear of God. And what do? They attack God's people. We already read it there in verse number 4. It's who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. You know what God wants from us? We're in Psalms. Flip over to Proverbs real quick. Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 20. God wants us to be seeking Him. God wants us to desire the knowledge of God. Proverbs 1 verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. You know what knowledge they hate? It's the knowledge of God. They don't want to know their Bibles. They don't want to know the God of the Bible, because it just might correct me. It just might tell me I'm wrong. It might tell me I have to stop my sin. That's a foolish way to live. Because sin doesn't... What did sin ever bring you? What did it ever give you? Pain? Pleasure? Sure, pleasure for a brief moment, and then you got to live with the pain. Why would you choose something like that over God? What's God ever done to you? Man, I wish I had hours to preach. I read a great thing this week about the silence of God. And that's a lot of the beef people have with God. And that's a lot of the beef the atheists have with God. Well, if He'd just speak to me, if He'd just show me, anyways, verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I don't like what he's saying. I'll also laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You see the peace that somebody has when they'll listen to God? And when you don't, when you say, no, I don't want it anymore, I don't want to take it anymore, I don't want to hear it anymore, enough of the preaching, enough of church, enough of the Bible, God, listen, what happens is you run up against something and you start struggling with it. And God's dealing with you, and what God's asking of you is more than you want to give Him. And you're in a dangerous spot. So, okay, I'm just afraid to, okay. It's scary to give yourself to God. I mean, lock, stock, and barrel, everything you are from the inside out, top to bottom. God, I am yours. Where you send me, I go. Where you tell me to stay, I stay. What I'm supposed to think, what I'm supposed to believe, how I'm supposed to operate, how I'm to treat my wife, how I'm to treat my kids, what I'm allowed to put in my body, what I'm not allowed to put in my body, what I'm allowed to look at, what I'm not allowed to look at, what I'm allowed to say, what I'm not allowed to say. I'm yours, God, control me. That's a scary thing. But there's a whole lot of peace in trying to get there and trying to stay there. And when you step out, get back in. Whole lot. And boy, these people that don't want God, they live their life in fear. You heard the story of the atheist guy who didn't believe in God. And he got so tired of it, he was tired of life. He goes and he jumps in a raging river and he's going to drown himself. And he hits that water and feels that thing sweeping him down river. And he's thinking like, oh no, oh no, he starts panicking, he's trying to paddle, and he starts screaming, oh God,
And just so happened, the preacher was just around the corner on that river fishing, and he hears the guy screaming. He throws down his fishing pole. He grabs a branch. He launches it out there. The guy grabs it. He grabs a hold of it. He pulls him in, and he recognizes him. And he said, "Hey, man, I thought you were an atheist. I heard you screaming out for God." And the atheist looked at him and said, "Well, you know, I am an atheist, but there ought to be a God somewhere when a man really needs one." Yeah, that's it. All the workers of iniquity, you know what? They don't want any knowledge of God. But then when they get in their fear, they're screaming out, "Oh God, oh God." I imagine that's what hell's going to sound like for eternity. "Oh God, oh God, oh God. I gave you chance after chance after chance after chance." Listen to me. You can't be past 20 years old and honest and tell me God hasn't been abundantly merciful to you. Right. Now, you put another decade on that and add another decade to that and put another decade on top of that, and you're still alive and breathing, and you're not crushed under some kind of a paraplegic or quadriplegic somewhere like you ought to be, on life support, dead. You cannot convince me that you can be that old and be honest and tell me God has not been abundantly merciful to you. And he's saying, wisdom cries out, "Come get to know me better. Come walk with me more. Come learn of me. I'm meek and lowly, and he'll find rest to your souls. Come on, come on, come learn of me. I'll guide you. I'll take you through all your troubles. Not I'll keep you out of them. I'll take you through all your troubles. I'll be there for you. I'll strengthen you. I'll make sure you make it. I'll take you home to glory with me in the end. Come on, walk with me, learn of me." And the fool says, "I've heard all that before. I've already read my Bible. I've been in church my whole life. See, I didn't. We took it off of the atheist and we put it on. That was part of the plan here tonight. Because it's real easy to preach at them when they're caught up in sin, and it is foolish when they mock you, don't fall for it. But what about us? The workers of iniquity, they have willful ignorance, and their works are those of iniquity. They're corrupt, they've done abominable works. Look at verse 3, they're all gone aside, they're all together become filthy, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. You know what iniquity is? Iniquity is a truth inside. I'm sorry, it's a sin inside. The verse that helps me understand it the best is when David said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." See? You can be full of iniquity, but not be committing any of the sins that your mind and heart is filled with. And God says, "I'm not listening to him when he prays because he's so full of garbage, he's corrupt." And you can be born again and on your way to heaven with the Spirit of God in you and be full of iniquity, be corrupt. And God says, "I'm not listening." I wonder why we don't get more of our prayers answered. I wonder if some of us who do believe in God and do love the Lord and are faithful to church and even read our Bibles and try to pray, I wonder if we cleaned up a little more, if we get more prayers through. I'm not trying to put this on you like it's your fault, but I'm just wondering if the Holy Spirit wouldn't intensify his work on some of your lost loved ones in answer to your prayers if your prayers were getting where you wanted them to get. I'm not putting that guilt on you like they're lost and it's your fault. I'm saying if we're really serious and we really want to get through to God, why wouldn't we clean up as much as we can? You know that doesn't guarantee your loved ones are going to get saved, but I sure want the Holy Spirit to work on some people. I believe that if I pray and ask him to work on them, he'll answer my prayers and work on them. That doesn't mean they're going to do it, but it might mean he intensifies the pressure. I had some rough years in my life, some real rough years, and I lived in under unbelievable pressure because there was a host of people praying for me. And boy, when they prayed for me, you wouldn't believe what the Holy Spirit did in my life. You can run, but you can't hide. The works of iniquity, they're corrupt. They're defiled. They're abominable. Now look at this last one, and then we'll go. The walk of a believer in the day of a fool. Look what you and I are supposed to do. It says in verse 5, "For God is in the generation of the righteous." In verse number 2, "The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." See that? he's looking. He's looking down from heaven, and he's looking to see if anybody gets it and if anybody's looking for him. Well, more and more people are turning against the Lord and against the Bible and against the truth of the Bible, and they might even believe in God, but they don't believe in the God of the Bible, which for all intents and purposes is an atheist. Because if you don't believe in the God of the Bible, what God are you believing in? So, a God of your own imagination. So, they're atheists. Well, okay, that's their choice. What about me? Well, those people go after God's people. It's in the text. They're even going to eat him in the tribulation period. And what you're finding nowadays is they do feast on you with their mouth. And the anti-God and anti-Bible rhetoric is building. And it's going to get worse. What do you do? Well, you remember God's looking down from heaven and looking for somebody who's looking for him. I believe with all my heart God's watching to see if I'm going to seek his face in the morning. I believe with all my heart God's watching to see if I just get my outline ready for Sunday morning or if I seek his face to get in that outline and minister it to your hearts. See, that's different. You got to run to your refuge. Verse 6, ye have shamed the counsel of the poor. They mock you. Why? Because the Lord is his refuge. You know where you run? You run to the Lord. You and I need to be a people that are seeking to know God better. Look at verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion when the Lord turneth back the captivity of his people. It's a tribulation passage. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. But guess what, church? We're going to rejoice and be glad too. When that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ comes to get us out of here, we're going to do the same thing. You ought to be looking for that. You ought to be in this book, coming to church and asking God to speak to your heart. And let me remind you, I've said it a million times, forgive me for saying it again. Light rejected becomes lightning. When you come in and you say, God, speak to my heart, and the Lord speaks to your heart about something, and you feel that conviction again, answer it. Answer it. When God shows you something, answer what God shows you. When God deals with you, deal with it. Work on what God gives you to work on. Why? Because when you say, I'll come back to that one later. That's my pet sin, God. That's not really wrong, Lord. I'm not doing that. Guess what? His foolish heart is darkened. God said, you don't want the light? Well, shut it off. I will guarantee you something. You can't come up against something in the Bible where God deals with you and shut that light off and say, now give me something else, God. God, give me something else. Hey, God. God. God, I need something else. God, my wife. God, my kids. God, my health. God, my finances. Why? Because you knew him. You knew what he told you. You didn't want to deal with what he told you to deal with. So now, saved as you could possibly be, on your way to heaven, and the lights off. Why? Because you rejected the truth God gave you. The fool has said in his heart, not in his intellect, not in his mind. He knows. And so do you. You know exactly what God says to you. So don't be like the atheist. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving us the Bible. I pray you'd give us now the ability spiritually to digest those things that you've showed us. Now I pray, Father, if you're dealing with somebody tonight about something,